1949. Brought to you each week at this time by NBC and its affiliated stations, holds up its mirror in the midst of a nationwide campaign against one of humanity's greatest scourges to reflect the true facts concerning it and pose positive action you can take against
our enemy, cancer.
The sound of a clock. And then, your narrator, Ben Grauer.
Greetings, America. Do you hear that? That's time ticking by. Within the next half hour, in short, by the time this program is over, approximately 10 more Americans will be dead. 10 who will have fallen prey to the gangster, cancer.
20 an hour. That's my kill. Day in, day out, 24 hours a day. One person every 3 minutes.
These are the latest figures from the American Cancer Society, an organization of doctors and laymen devoted to the control of cancer, who tell us, too, that cancer is the greatest killer of children from 9 to 14 years old, the second greatest of children from 1 to 14. More than all the speeches, all the technical reports, all the newspaper columns, these facts add up to one fact. That if we are to do something about it, you and I, it's about time we knew our enemy. To this end, these are the questions, then, that we of Living 1949 shall set out to explore.
What is cancer?
What causes cancer? Whom does cancer strike? What are the danger signals? How can we watch out for them?
When can cancer be cured? How is it treated?
And lastly,
what can we do to protect ourselves against death from cancer?
In order for us to show you how cancer develops inside the body, America, we ask you to call upon your imagination. Free yourself of the usual limitations. Let your fertile mind characterize the ideas we give you. Ready? Okay, let's go. Your body, my body, every body is composed of billions of units of living matter called cells. Each individual cell is so small that it can be seen only with the aid of a powerful microscope.
Can you see me, Doc? There. How about this?
Each one of us starts life as such a cell, a single fertilized egg cell. Within a few hours, this first cell divides into two cells.
Hi, brother. Hi.
Each cell similar in every respect to the other.
He's my twin.
A little while later, these two cells divide into four, and then the four divide into eight cells, and the eight into 16, and so on. This cell dividing process is called growth, and goes on until each of us reaches adult life. When we reach adulthood, we stop growing. These cells carry on their special duties, of course, but except for except for replacing worn-out or destroyed tissue, these cells cease reproducing new cells when we become adults. Cease dividing. It's just as though somebody pulled on a brake and yelled, and in a normal, healthy body, this restraining or controlling factor remains in charge for the rest of one's life, and everything is hunky-dory. But sometimes a cell or a group of cells gets out of hand.
Brother cells, now is the time to revolt. Why should we work in peace so that this body can gain strength? What do we get out of it? Come on, follow me. Let's show them who's boss here.
These outlaw cells begin multiplying like crazy. They push aside neighboring tissues, rob them of food, cause the death of normal cells. Gathering strength,
come on, everybody!
They continue their ruthless and relentless program of conquest. Not content with invasion of nearby tissues, they dispatch members of their gang to other parts of the body.
All right, you cells there. Go down to the intestines. Go by way of the lymph for bloodstream. Set up another camp. Carry on.
All right, come on, Dad. Come on,
establish new headquarters to carry on their outlaw activities of unceasing growth and destruction. This transformation, this change of normal, law-abiding cells into lawless, criminal, gangster cells is called...
Have a tumor, Mrs. Walsh.
But, Doctor, cancer...
Now, just a minute before you go getting all excited. I want to explain something to you.
Yes, Doctor.
Not all abnormal growths or tumors are cancer, Mrs. Walsh.
Oh, thank heaven.
You see, some tumors are surrounded by a limiting membrane.
A limiting membrane?
Mm-hmm. Now, though they crowd the tissues that are nearby, they don't destroy their neighbors, and they don't spread to other parts of the body.
They don't?
We call them... benign tumors. And ordinarily, they can be removed without difficulty, Mrs. Walsh.
Oh, I see.
Now, malignant tumors are something else again.
Malignant tumors?
Yes. There are many kinds of malignant tumors, Mrs. Walsh, but they all have three things in common. They grow uncontrolled, they tend to spread out through the body, and not treated adequately in time, this cancer...
Yes, Doctor.
Well, I think our first job's to find out which kind of tumor you have, Mrs. Walsh.
So much then for our first question, what is cancer? Cancer, in just three simple words, is cells gone wild. Now, what causes cancer? And here... let's start by exploding a few false notions with the help of, remember your imagination, Mrs. False Notion.
Hello, Mr. Grower.
Yes, hello, Mrs. False Notion. Are you in form today?
Oh, yes, I'm just raring to go.
Very well, you may proceed. Now, one of your friends has just had a severe injury. What do you say to him?
Oh, dear me. You better be real careful, George. I don't want to disturb you or anything, but... well, you know you can get cancer from an injury like that.
A sound man, let's have an explosion, please. Thank you. That's to blow up the false notion that cancer is caused by a single severe injury. The colloquial answer to that one is nuts. Continue, please, Mrs. False Notion.
Oh, Mabel, horrors! I wouldn't use a cooking vessel made of that metal for anything in the world. They say it causes cancer.
Sound man? Good. That explodes another false notion that cancer can be caused by a cooking vessel of any particular metal. Aluminum, copper, steel, what have you. Again, nuts. Hurry up, Mrs. False Notion. That boy and girl there are kissing.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. I wonder if they know they might catch cancer from, well, doing what they are doing.
Make it a good one, sound man. No, Mrs. False Notion, you can't catch cancer from kissing for the simple reason that cancer is not caused by a germ or infection, so is neither contagious nor infectious. None of these things causes cancer. They're all false notions, and they all deserve to be exploded. But what does cause cancer?
Maybe I can help you.
Oh, yes, please, Doctor.
Though I'm not sure there's very much I can tell you. You see, unfortunately, we don't know yet exactly what starts cells to rebel, to go on a rampage of expansion, destruction, and death. But this much we know.
Yes, Doctor. Warm up that imagination, folks.
Cancer never develops in healthy tissue.
Ah, let's move on. This guy's too healthy for work.
Come on, let's get going.
Since cancer doesn't occur in healthy tissue... this means that any condition which results in the breakdown or deterioration of normal cells may prepare the way for it.
For example, Doctor?
For example, chronic irritation.
Chronic irritation, eh?
Mm-hmm. Continued overexposure to hot sun or high temperature, let's say, bringing on cancer of the skin. Or constantly rubbing a mole or wart or scar. It's almost as if the cell of some body tissue became annoyed beyond endurance and cried,
I can't stand it anymore, I tell you. I can't stand it.
Me neither. I've had all I'm going to take.
Well, then what are we waiting for? Come on, let's rebel. Let's divide.
Yeah, let's divide. Come on, let's get out.
And so, because of this constant irritation, the cells break into open revolt and begin building up their cancerous rebel army through cell division.
I see. Tell our listeners something about heredity here, Doctor. I'm sure a good many of them are concerned about that point.
Yes, I've met them. Many come into my office and say,
my father had cancer, doctor, and my mother died of cancer. I'm just as sure as I was born that I'm going to die of it.
The answer to that is bunk. We know today of no hereditary factor that leads to cancer. We're certain that cancer is not passed directly from parent to child. Now, while the tendency to form cancer in man may be inherited, that tendency is so indirect that inheriting cancer does not need to be a source of worry to any person.
Next, whom does cancer strike?
Cancer's victims are to be found among young and old, among men and women, among married and unmarried.
No age group is free from cancer.
How true. Babies are sometimes born with it. And
my son had a cancer. My son was only 14 years old when he...
Over 2,000 children under 21 die of cancer in this country every year. But it is between 45 and 60 that cancer reaps its greatest and grimmest harvest. Here in the period that should mark our most productive years, cancer kills more than half as many men and women as are killed by all contagious and infectious diseases. And so it behooves us, each and every one of us, to pay particular attention to cancer's warning signals.
You know what, Bill? Huh? I've got a sore here in my mouth that doesn't seem to heal.
Well, let me see.
To the left there, huh?
Oh, yeah.
What do you make of it?
I don't know.
Oh, well, I shouldn't worry about it, I suppose.
Probably nothing at all.
Don't pass off as nothing at all any sore that does not heal. If it is cancer, delay is dangerous. Heed the warning alarm. See your doctor.
It isn't that it hurts me, Mildred. It's a painless lump right here on my breast.
Oh, that's strange.
What do you think I ought to do?
Well, if it isn't hurting you, why don't you wait and see what happens?
Never wait to see what happens to any painless lump or thickening, especially in the breast, lip, or tongue. Pay attention to nature's danger signal before it may be too late. Go to your doctor.
Oh, doggone it. I can't eat a simple, decent meal without getting indigestion. Indigestion? No wonder I'm losing weight.
Watch persistent indigestion. Don't wait until you've lost weight. Put on your hat and act at once. Visit your doctor.
Good heavens, Janet. What's that bruise on your arm?
Oh, it's not a bruise. Just a birthmark.
Birthmark? Funny I never noticed before. And I know you so well.
Well, that's because it was so small. For some reason, it's getting bigger lately. Sort of changing color.
What have you been doing for it?
I've been using this ointment I just got from the drugstore. Somebody, I forget who, told me it was very good.
If you would protect yourself against cancer in time, beware of any progressive change in the color or size of a birthmark, wart, or mole. Do not try salves or ointment. Do go to the doctor.
Hi, Joe.
Oh, hello, Will. How are you?
Hey, what's the matter with you?
My throat. I've been hoarse 5 or 6 days now.
You got a cold?
No. Don't know how to explain it. Probably been smoking too much. It'll clear up in a while.
Oh, good luck to you.
Listen, persistent hoarseness, an unexplained cough, difficulty in swallowing should never be ignored on the premise that they're due to smoking or some other form of irritation that'll soon clear up. Clear up any doubt in your mind by taking the only safe course. See your doctor. There you are, friends. There are 5 warning signals that wave a red flag in your face and shout,
danger!
Add 2 others, irregular bleeding, a change in your normal digestive habits, and you have 7 warning signals in all that cancer often gives in its early stages. Knowing and heeding these 7 danger signals may actually spell the difference between life and death for you or someone you love. On the other hand, knowing them and not heeding them will only give your enemy an open invitation to lead his invasion forces on their ruthless march through your body.
Forward, march!
Thank you. can cancer be cured?
Cancer be cured? Why, I always thought... I was told...
Well, I know, madam. You, like a lot of other mistaken people, always believe the cancer marked finis, the end.
Well, doesn't it, ultimately?
No. Many types of cancer are just as curable as a corn if they're spotted and treated in time. 95%, practically all, of the cases of cancer of the mouth can be cured if treated early. But watch what happens if you wait, and the cancer is moderately advanced before treatment begins. From a 95% possibility of being cured, your chances drop to 25%. In short, you have just about a quarter of the chance of coming out of it than you did before. Some cancers, of course, as yet cannot be successfully treated, but...
One-third to one-half of those who now die of cancer could be saved on the basis of our present knowledge of diagnosis and cure.
Could we have that in figures, Doc? I mean, good, round, solid figures.
All right. 55,000 lives could be saved every year.
Can you break it down even further than that?
Well, 1,000 lives could be saved every week.
Even further, Doctor?
6 lives could be saved every hour. Further than that?
If you can.
Let me put it this way. 3 out of the 10 people who may die of cancer by the end of this program could have been saved.
If. Don't forget that big if, Doctor.
If they learned and heeded the danger signals and sought treatment at once.
Then and only then will the outlaw cells...
Run for cover! They discovered us! Every cell for himself!
We have told you when cancer may be cured. That you may know how it is treated, we return you once again to that scene in the doctor's office where Mrs. Walsh has just learned she has cancer.
What can I do, Doctor? Is there anything I can do?
Now, try to get a better grip on yourself, Mrs. Walsh. Your case is not hopeless.
Then what?
We have 3 methods and 3 methods only which have proved themselves, Mrs. Walsh. Surgery, X-ray, and radium.
Surgery?
Mm-hmm. We use surgery to remove the cancer from your body.
But I've heard it causes cancer to spread.
Now, don't you believe it. If cancer appears in any other part of your body after an operation, it simply means that cancer had already begun elsewhere before we used surgery.
What did you say the other methods were?
X-ray and radium. No central difference. Both will destroy your cancer cells without injuring any neighboring cells.
Which treatment are you...
going to apply to you, Mrs. Walsh? Well, that depends upon a lot of things. The type of cancer, where it is, its duration, its rate of growth. We have to treat each patient as an individual problem, and we may use 1, 2, or all of the methods I've told you about. Now, I intend to make a more complete examination of your case before I decide. What I want from you is chin up. You've come to see me in time, and I believe you're going to be all right.
Mrs. Walsh is in good hands. Hands that will be sure to do all they can to help her. But hundreds of other Americans stricken with cancer each year fall into bad hands. Into the hands of men who advertise...
Cancer can be cured. Amazing new scientific discovery guarantees cancer cure. Write for details today before it's too late.
We are urged by the American Cancer Society to warn you against any advertisement that advertises or guarantees a cancer cure. Such advertisements, again, colloquially, are the bunk. And their perpetrators, first-class A-number-1 quacks. Few quacks have had any medical training. Therefore, they have no real knowledge of the nature of cancer or the recognized methods of treatment. They are dangerous because they take money, which you may sorely need, for competent treatment elsewhere. But more important, they are dangerous because they waste invaluable time. They often deprive you of your last chance for adequate treatment and cure. And so we come to...
What can we do to protect ourselves against death from cancer?
The answer to that... Well, remember the things we told you. Realize
that cancer is the second greatest cause of death in this country. And that at the present rate of its occurrence, 1 out of every 8 of us is destined to die of cancer.
So, learn.
Learn the danger signals. Go to your doctor at once if any of these signals appear. Insist that members of your family learn these signals, too.
Arrange
for a complete periodic health examination for yourself and other members of your family. Such an examination should reveal any condition which might lead to cancer.
Take pains.
Take pains to avoid prolonged or chronic irritation to any part of the body. From overexposure to sun and wind, from jagged teeth, ill-fitting dental plates, any abuse of tissue. For cancer never develops in healthy tissue.
In laboratories throughout the nation, largely supported by your contributions to the Cancer Fund, the fight against this enemy of the people continues. While the causes of cancer are still remote, progress is being born among the test tubes. One recent announcement, which you may have seen, for example, gives hope of early detection of cancer by means of...
a simple blood test that can be performed in any laboratory. A test successfully proved on 300 patients.
But remember, while this test may save time and money, as against the more complicated and expensive clinic setup required to discover cancer today, it can only help us to detect cancer. It cannot cure it. Moreover, we are told, it must be proved on many more than 300 patients before we're absolutely sure of it and it is put in general use. Another step in the right direction is the $5 million assigned the Atomic Energy Commission for use in helping cancer research. But at present, the best front we can present against our common enemy is a united front, strong with knowledge. The very path pointed out by your Congress not so long ago in...
Public Resolution number 82.
A resolution which authorized the President of the United States to issue the following proclamation.
Now, therefore, I, Harry S. Truman, President of the United States of America, do hereby invite all organizations and individuals interested in a national program for the control of cancer to unite in a public dedication to this program in a concerted effort to impress upon the people of the nation the necessity for such a program.
Part of the battle against cancer, then, friends, and a mighty important part, is up to you.
The NBC special program staff, which prepares and produces Living 1949, expresses its thanks and gratification for a first award presented to our series by the 19th Annual Institute for Education by Radio at Ohio State University. Living 1949 is supervised by Wade Arnold. Lou Haslam writes the scripts. Your narrator is Ben Grauer. The music on this program is composed and conducted by Dr. Roy Shields. The program is directed by Jack Cuney. We invite you to keep abreast of Living 1949 by listening next week to our drama document entitled
Highbrow, Lowbrow, Middlebrow.
This program, Living 1949, came to you from our studios in Radio City, New York. We invite you to stay tuned now for the program, The Eternal Light, which will be heard over many of these same stations. Robert Warren speaking. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.